You get there as well. Thank you. Many of you prayed. Thank you again. I said it last week, but as we were out of pocket celebrating Andrea's folks' 50th anniversary a few weeks ago, thank you. So many of you stepped up and helped out and did behind the scenes, did in front of things, and we're thankful for that. I thank you as well. Many of you are really good at this. Thank you. It matters. I think I'm okay. Yeah. It matters so much. Make sure we're recording all back there, guys. It matters so much that that you're good. You're good at sharing things, whether it's on our website or social media accounts, Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. Thank you. You just get a wide audience, and you're helping. We have folks, several hundred every week, that listen to our services or watch our services. Thank you for your help. And that's a real simple thing. It doesn't cost you anything. And as we're heading into some other events, I want to encourage you to do that as well. We really try. We have other churches participate. We really try and pull hard from this area. Let me help you with that. There are churches 12 miles up the road who are trying to start churches here because of the people population. I was talking to Brother Glaspie this week. We're going to start back again. We kind of took the summer off about trying to make 100 contacts a week. We are being overrun with population, so I don't believe it. We have, since I've been here, they've built and opened 2 schools in 4 years. Not quite 4 years. Other schools running at capacity. People lobbying to get folks in. It's absolutely amazing, the growth of the people around here. So you say, I still don't believe it. Then you just come hang out between 4 and 6 in the afternoon on this road, and you'll believe it. Come try and get across Oak Ridge Highway from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, and it's amazing. The school starts back up here, and so pray. We have a tremendous opportunity, and I want to do that, so thank you. So as you do that, and some of you say, well, why do we do this, why do we do that? Well, part of it's because we're doing our best to reach our community. Josh Bush, just a dear brother out in the Kansas area, and he likes to say, everyone, everywhere. Who's the gospel for? Everyone, everywhere. Who are we supposed to be ministering to? Everyone, everywhere. I kind of like that. It's kind of catchy, amen. Well, who is the church for? Everyone, everywhere. Somebody say amen to that. And so we're deciding. And I really was going a different direction until yesterday, and I believe this is the message the Lord has for us. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 42. If you're willing and able, stand with us. We read God's word. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 42. So those of you who have been hanging around church a while, this may be a familiar passage to you, but I don't want you to trip over some things. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly. Who is the they there? The they is the thousands of people who have been saved and baptized since the event we call the Day of Pentecost. When Peter and the others speak to the Peter preaches and the others translate the message, and as they translate the message, there are thousands of people that are saved, and the church is born. It's not organized, it's born, as the church is born, this living thing. And so here's what this brand new thing that God has birthed does. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. These are confirmation gifts. How do we know what you're saying is true? Fine. Good question. Here's the good answer. They were able to perform miracles that validated the truth of what they had said. By the way, how many of you think that what God says, God can back up? Somebody say amen to that. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. There's a unity there. Verse 45, sold their possessions and goods and parted all men as every man had need. Did they sell everything? The rest of the passage is going to tell us they didn't always sell everything, but they were made sure that some didn't have extra and some didn't have any. They made sure to take care of people. Verse 46, and they continued steadfastly, daily with one accord, in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And I want to help us here. I want to get back to the through the template and just talk about what is a faithful church. We've been looking at the theme of faithfulness. And so what does a faithful church look like? Would you agree that's a good thing to know in 2018? So we're going to look at this for a moment today, give you some simple observations. I think I want to encourage us, and I want to call us in just a little bit. I'm going to call us, make sure that we want to be this kind of church. Would you pray with me right now? Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. I pray that you speak to every heart. I pray, Father, right now that you would work in our midst. Lord, help me focus my thoughts. Help me not be distracted this morning. I pray even now that you be with us and speak to us. Holy Spirit, use me and fill me, Lord. I feel weak and insufficient today, but you are all sufficient, so I pray that in. I pray that you get the honor and glory for what's done today. Lord, I love you and I need you, and I pray that you'd help me in these moments, Lord, get all the honor and glory for what's done. I ask it in your Son's wonderful and precious name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. What is a faithful church? What is a faithful church? Somebody says, well, all churches are the same. Well, it's not necessarily true. There are stylistic differences. There are modal differences. In other words, the way they do certain things. There are personality differences. There are some guys, man, they just, when they get done preaching, they're soaking wet. There are other guys, they get done preaching, and they could use a little water. They're kind of dry. I say that with a smile on my face. I have evangelist friends who actually bring a change of clothes to church. Actually bring a change of clothes to church because of that, thank you. And it's good we have security. It's bad when people can't get in the building. And they bring a change of clothes to church because it's just cuckoo. It's just crazy how much they perspire and they're worried about getting sick. We're not talking about styles of churches. We're not talking about personalities. Everybody's a little different here. I preach differently than Brother Glaspie. And Brother Poston will be with us in a few weeks. Brother Poston will more than likely preach differently than I do. And so we do some things different. So I'm not talking about style. I'm talking about how close we are to what the Bible says. How close we are to what the Bible says. Now just very, very quickly here. How many of you are direction followers? I just need to know. If you buy something and it has directions, you read the directions. You can be honest. How many of you look at the directions? How many of you look at the directions before you put it together? How many of you look at the directions after you can't get it to work? How many of you call somebody? How many of you, these are all my friends. They break something or don't look at it, then they call me and want me to fix it. Anybody, you're like that? You call somebody else and say, listen, I was too lazy to read the directions and do that. Anybody going to admit to that? All right, I got a few folks there. Yeah, some of you are pointing at people right now. And that's pretty good. There's a website out there called Let Me Google That For You. Anybody ever seen it? You ever seen it, John? Let Me Google That For You. And it's a little thing. And so somebody asks you a question or needs something. And so you type in their search request and let me Google that for you, and it makes a little link, and you send it to the person, and then it's a little animation, and it takes them to Google and it shows you typing that. And it's really a passive aggressive way of saying, hey, lazy bum, why did you do this? You see it, some of you that are on social media, people say, what's the phone number for such and such a place? And people will say, I don't know. I wish there was something like the internet that could give you results like that. How many of you think that's passive aggressive? How many of you think that's funny? How many of you right now wrote down? How many of you wrote down? Let me Google that for you. And you're like, it's been good to come to church today. I can be snarky with other people here. Well, we're talking about the church. We need to go back to the directions. What did the original church? What was God's original plan for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? And what did He want us to have? Want us to say? Dr. Teckel, in his book, there's a book out called Acts 29. He said, Juanza Kanjufa, I looked up his name, and he's written a book about African-American churches in America. He says that only 10 to 20% of those churches are empowering people to be witnesses for Christ. According to him, 80 to 90% of American churches fall into either entertainment or containment. Entertainment or containment? Bigger or better, or just keeping our head above water? Or the flip side of the coin, talking about how bad everybody else is out there. By the way, there are quite a few churches in Knoxville who just want to talk about how bad everybody else is and kind of bunker and hunker down. I don't think God called us to bunker down or to hunker down. I think God called us to reach West Knoxville and to love Hardin Valley and to get them the gospel. And if you believe that, would you say amen this morning? And so we're here. So what is it going to look like? Can you imagine? People's lives being changed, and folks who were in jail, and folks who were gang members, and folks who were drug dealers, and racists, and prostitutes, and sex offenders, all being transformed by the gospel? Can you imagine a cross section of this country and of this county being transformed by the gospel? And that's what made up this church. So let me give them to you. Let me offer them to you. I want to offer you just several things from the scripture this morning. Number one, a faithful church is going to emphasize learning and obeying God's word and God doing God's will. It's going to emphasize learning and obeying God's word and doing God's will. You're in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse number 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I always used to joke to some of my students, if anybody starts off, well, I think, I'm glad for whatever you're about to say, but it doesn't really matter. Nod your head if you understand what I'm saying. If somebody says, I feel, again, I'm glad for what you feel. How many of you are glad that, you know, feelings matter? But what you think and what you feel don't have anything to do with what the Bible says. If you want to talk to me about what the Bible says, and you want to start the sentence off, the Bible says, now you have my rapt attention, amen. Because sometimes I feel like a nut, and sometimes I don't. How many of you got the Mounds theme song running in your head right now? And sometimes I feel, you know, like everything's going well, and it may not be going well. Sometimes, anybody ever laugh in the face of danger? Everybody cry when they get real happy? Our feelings are fickle. It's not what I feel, and it's certainly not what I think. There are people all over the internet and all over television and say all kind of kooky things, and they put God's name to it. No. It's not what you think. It's not what you feel. It's what the Bible says. I have people all the time, well, I just didn't feel this, and I just didn't. And that's wonderful. That's fine, I suppose. But I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what the Bible says. And they put emphasis on learning and obeying God's word and doing God's will. If you leave church and you go, what a show, you missed it. If you go, man, look at those black ceilings, and man, the smoke machine, and man, the lights and all that, and man, wasn't that amazing? And man, they had 100-inch TVs, and they had the whole back wall that was lit. Again, all fine, I suppose. But that's not to be the emphasis. 4 years now, people say, what kind of church do you have? I said, we have a Bible church. It's the only church I know to have. Not that I can't read anything. Not I can't go to a conference. Not that we can't hire anybody to do any differently. We have a Bible church. We preach the Bible. We teach the Bible. We emphasize the Bible. We encourage you to learn the Bible and to live the Bible out. Why? Because that's what the early church emphasized. That's what the first church modeled for us. They emphasized this. They gave themselves. They steadfastly what? They continued. They pursued it. They were involved in it. For a church to be faithful, it must be a studying church, must be a reading church, must be a Bible church. Let me help you here. And that can't just be on Sunday morning. Somebody give me an amen there. We can hoop and holler for football. We need to do a little better here. I don't care if it's your tablet. Excuse me. I don't care if it's your tablet, if it's your phone. I don't care if you got a devotional Bible with the reading split up. I use one of those personally. If you got a bookmark, man, I don't care how you do it. I don't care if you do it audio. While you're out there walking, maybe you need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word every day. We can't be a strong, faithful church if we only eat one time a week. The only time you get in the Word is Sunday morning, and you give me 30 minutes, and you're sitting there going, man, I hope he's done by 11:35, because I got somewhere to be. Again, I'm glad you got somewhere to be, but this shouldn't be the only time that you eat. If it is, you're emaciated and weak. And you need to be eating. You need to be learning. I don't know how you obey something you don't know. Or how you obey something you don't know. Anybody in here? We have any parents, grandparents in here? No. Okay. Finally. Grandparents. There we go. And I didn't mean to do that. I came home the other night. And I just given Riley the business. Just giving him the business. And then it dawned on me. I was giving him the business about something he didn't know anything about. Anybody ever been a really bad parent in a hurry? Anybody ever done that? More hands. I just gave him the business. In the business, and he didn't have a clue what I was talking about. He knew he was in trouble, but he was in trouble for something I was imagining and not what something he had done. So guess what I got to do? I got to go up to him and say, "Riley, I blew it, man. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me." And he looked at me like that satisfaction that only a 15-year-old can give, going, "I know, Dad. Ugh. I love you. Okay, here's some money. What do you do now? What do you do at that age? Here's some money. Can't give him the keys yet. Here, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Why? Why? Because I blew it. You can't. He couldn't obey something he didn't know to do. And he couldn't disobey something he didn't know to do either. And I got on to, how do you obey God's word? How do you obey God, know God's will, if you're not in God's word? They were concentrated on it. We set up our schedule here to do that Sunday night, 5 o'clock, Bible study. We're in the word. We're together. We're doing those things. Sunday school, the Bible hour, we're working through some things. We do it as corporately as a church. Every class, every age group is looking at the same thing. In our junior church going on right now in the back, we have our junior church set up, and we've got it colored, and it's all neat and all in there, and it's we use some video, we use some other thing, but we got the Answers in Genesis curriculum in there, and we're in there, and we're teaching them. This is what God's Word says about these things. We're building up their faith. We're being evangelistic. Why? Because this is what the church did and what the church is supposed to do. It's all about entertainment, it's all about music, and it's all about these other things. So we're not focused on what they were focused on. Let me help you here. It was the apostles' doctrine. It was authoritative. I don't get to invent what I believe. Now, you can invent what you believe, but you can't put God's name to it. You can't put God's name to it. There's a church of Star Trek out there. Live long and prosper. But you can't put God's name to it. Somebody nod your head. There's a couple of Simpsons churches out there. I don't know if Bart's the devil or if Bart's Jesus. I don't really care either. But there are those out there. Again, you can't put God's name to it. You can't put God's name to it. I would suggest to you there's a lot of folks who get cult-like fervor about sports and events. I'm not just talking about football. There are people who lost their minds. There was people who cheered so loud in Brazil that they actually caused a minor earthquake. And in Mexico City, when they won the first round, they did cause an earthquake. I would call that evangelistic fervor and zeal. That is not what we are to emphasize. We are to emphasize learning and obeying God's word and God's and doing God's word. Let me stop you for a second. Here's what you've done. You go, "Preacher, I haven't done that lately, so I'm a failure." Let me help you. Start today. Start today. Start today. Get into it today. I'm going to start today. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. We go, "Man, I hadn't been exercising, so I'm going to go run 4 miles. That's probably not going to work real well. I hadn't been exercising. I'm going to walk around the house. Now I got a little goal, right? I can read 2 verses. I can read 4 verses. I can read this. I can start and I can get into it, and I can ask God to speak to my heart." We talk about having those kind of a faithful church will do this, will emphasize this. We must stress this. A great church, a faithful church, experiences fellowship. It says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Fellowship. They continued this way. This word here is a great word. It's a word we translate as fellowship, but it's a word called koinonia. It's a clever word. There's a couple of churches when driving distance here that got that in their name. I don't know why they've got that in their name, because nobody knows what it means. Nod your head if you're with me here. If you drive by and you see Koinonia, how many of you like me, you think that's a restaurant? And I'm teasing a little bit here, but we sometimes use inside baseball stuff or stuff we shouldn't. But it's a beautiful word, and it's an idea of communion, coming together, and it's really intimate. It's beyond just a potluck dinner. It's beyond just getting together and hanging out. It is the idea that I'm a part of your life. I'm a part of your life. Some of you are genuinely thrilled for Jason and Crystal that they had a grandbaby. And you're not their family. You were thrilled for them. Conversely, there's some people a mile and a half up the road who have not met many of you, but who know your name And in the morning and at night, they call your name out in prayer because they're part of this fellowship and that they believe so strongly that they have an obligation to pray for you. And there is a sweet fellowship that exists there. And they may never meet you this side of glory, but they care about you because you belong and you are part of this group that is here. And even though they've been shut in now for some years and they are asking God to work in your heart and your life. Someone said there are no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. No, no, there are lots and lots of Lone Ranger Christians. There should not be Lone Ranger Christians. It's hard for us to have fellowship when we don't know names. It's hard for us to have fellowship when we don't pray for each other. It's hard for us to have fellowship when we're not involved and not around and all. Man, I need to be here. 1 Corinthians 15. I need you. You need me. We need each other. I need you. You need me. One of the things Andre and I, we've grown so fast in our pool, and we're at about 130 people who call this place home now. We realize, man, we're the only people who know everybody. And that's got to change. We got to get people connected. We got to do this. And some of you I've talked to, I'm going to try and pair some of you up and get together and be prayer partners, prayer buddies and all this. Why? Because we've got to fellowship. We've got to do this. And we can't do that without FaceTime. We can't do that without fellowship time. And they experience this together. You still with me? Say amen. Faithful church. A faithful church includes communion and emphasizing the cross of Christ. They continue to steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread. Here's our word. We typically get the idea of communion or Lord's table. And the Lord's table is about juice and bread. It's at least about that. But it always is to point to the cross. Jesus did this on the night before he was crucified, saying what? This is my blood spilled for you. This is my body broken for you. This is what it represents. We've made that shift here. We did it 4 times a year, and now we try and do it 8 to 10 times a year. We do this because we must emphasize the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that he took my stripes on his back. He took those nails in his hands and his feet. And for my sins, he was crucified. And a faithful church constantly is emphasizing the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me help you. And a faithful church emphasizes that you are to take up his cross and follow him. We don't preach a cheap, easy believism. What does that mean? That means that you can pray a little prayer and say a little thing and never experience life change and have full confidence that you're on your way to heaven and that you're right with God. No, the Bible says if any man's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. God's word says that when you come to him, he changes your life. And when you come to him, you're willing what? You're willing to be Lord in the likeness of his resurrection, raised in likeness Lord in likeness of death, raised in likeness of his resurrection. I want to be fully identified with him even in death. I want to do that. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to obey. And a faithful church constantly does that. Constantly does that. See, I like that church because they never ask us to do anything. They never ask. Wonderful. I don't know you'd call it a church that never asks you for commitment, that never points you to his cross and to the personal cross that you are to bear. Somebody say amen to that. By the way, it makes us different. It makes us different even than churches some in the air. I'm not picking at those churches. I'm simply saying this is what the Bible says, and we're doing our best to try and follow that. There's a fourth thing. A faithful church values constant and consistent prayer. They continued, and the word applies here, the modifier applies here to the doctrine, to the fellowship, to the koinonia, the breaking of bread, what we call communion, and the emphasis on the cross, and in praying. They had constant and continuous prayer. Matthew chapter 14, Jesus, when he had got by himself, he went up to a mountainside to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13, the little children brought to Jesus, he put his hands on him and he prayed for them. Over and over we see Mark chapter 11, verse 25, when you stand praying, if you hold aught against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Luke 6, verse 12, Jesus went to a mountainside to pray, and there he stayed all night praying over and over and over again. Every now and then I'll think, man, what I got to do Wednesday and what I got to do, and I don't want to take so much time, and I think, man, we got to take more time. And we need to sing on our midweek service. But we need to pray. We need to pray. If I didn't think it would bust the whole thing up, man, every now and then I think I'd come in here on Sunday morning, we read a couple of verses and do some things, then take about 10 minutes and pray. I think it'd do some of us some good to just have to focus on praying and talking to the Father. How many of you got people in your life that are not Christ followers? Raise your hand, nod your head. How many of you got loved ones that you don't think are Christ followers? How many of you got folks right now that if they died like they are, you were concerned they would spend an eternity in an awful Christless hell? Man, we need to pray. We need to pray. Anybody got any situations bigger than you are? Anybody got any financial problems bigger than you are? Anybody got any emotional problems, family problems, work problems bigger than you are? And here's what we do. It's just mine. I just suffer. Anybody look at the area around us and go, man, how's a church that's been revitalized? How's a church that's going through all this and it's gotten down low and we're going this and so many new people and so many new Christians? How's the church do that? Man, we're going to do this because we're going to pray. And because we're going to go out in the power of God. And if He is for us, and who can be against us? And we're going to take all our needs to Him and cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And we're going to do that through the avenue of praying. That's what we have to do and we get to do. And we get to do that together. We get to do that together. Man, I love it when somebody walks up and says, hey, man, I've been praying for so-and-so. How they doing? Hey, man, I've been doing it. How they do it? What's going on here? Tell me, give me a little update. What are we doing? What are we doing? I walked in this morning, and a couple of our men were asking one of the other, hey, how you doing? I heard you're under the weather. Wednesday night, how are you doing now? How are you doing now? Man, that's it. Why? Because we pray for each other. Pray for each other. We share requests. I mean, write them down. You may have a great memory. We get to do that. We pray for you. They value that. A faithful church is producing fruit. Producing fruit. God's doing something. God's doing something there. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. A great church is taking action. A great church is seeing things. Seeing things. I think they're seeing things done internally and externally. I want you to catch that. There's confirmation, verse 43. There's confirmation that what's going on there is of God. Say, how do you mean that? Well, they had signs and wonders, but they also had another thing. They had transformed lives. Say, prove that to me, because they all of a sudden, they got very generous. They started caring about people who weren't in their family. There ought to be confirmation. God's at work, there ought to be some confirmation. How many of you think sometimes confirmation is God convicting you of sin? Anybody, you were a lot happier with your spiritual walk before you started getting in church or getting in the Word, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm a lousy, no good, rotten somebody. God's going to have to help me. I mean, a few years ago, you thought you were a little better off spiritually than you are now. You've been a little closer to God. And the closer you get to God, the more of a sinner you feel like you are. And God's working there, and He's purging, and He's helping you, and He's exposing things, and you're going, man, I want to please Him in all these areas of my life. There's confirmation that's there. Somebody say, man, I talked to a guy 2 years ago, and he said we didn't have anybody trust Christ in the whole calendar year, whatever that would be, in 2016. Good-sized church. And I said, I'm sorry. He said, we didn't have anybody trust Christ in the whole calendar year of 2016. He said, I really got to get on our people. He's not a friend. So I didn't say what I was thinking. I had two thoughts. Anybody want to guess? One, I'd have never, ever publicly said that. I'd be too ashamed to say that. Two, if I would have said it, I said, Brother Weiniger, I need to repent because there are 19,000 people drive by our building every day. And I could have stood out there with a sign for an hour a day and at least said, if you have a spiritual question, I'm here to help. I could have done something. I could have tripped over somebody and told them about Jesus. I could have put an ad in the internet, somebody, and told them about Jesus. Brother Weiner, will you come and pray with me right now? Because I have not been obedient to God. Because I got news for you. God is at work. And God desires that all men be saved. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And a faithful church is interested in seeing lives change. And there is what's going on inside and what's going on outside. And a faithful church ought to be impacting its community. The church was to do what? They were to be witnesses of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Even in our financial pickle that we are in right now, we have not missed one nickel to our missionaries. You know why? Because that's God's will for a faithful church, is to be helping the gospel get where it needs to be. Somebody say amen to that. Because that's what we do. That's what a faithful church is. Faithful church has a great heart, by the way, for generosity and for sharing. And they had all their possessions, a good part of them. Excuse me, verse 44, they had all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions, goods, parted to them to all men as every man had need. They were generous. They were generous. You go to the church there at Thessalonica, that city, or the place there in Asia Minor, and they gave out of their poverty. The Philippi church gave, and some of them gave out of their abject poverty, even though some were very rich, and they gave. They just had a heart for giving. Heart for giving. Heart for being generous. Some reason, if I say giving, it causes a tighten if we say generosity. There's some of you here, you started being generous last year, year before, and God has blessed you and blessed your business. You could stand and testify and say, I'd have never plotted this way. God has done more with what has remained than if I tried to keep all of it. And it is a mystery to you, and you give God all the honor and the glory and the credit. Let me help you here. A church that is generous is full of people that are generous. Man, we are to be generous people. It is a joy to do this. It is a joy to serve this way. Every now and then, I hadn't had anybody ask me lately when we first started going working at CARM, Knox Valley Rescue Ministries. We're just there 10 times a year, and we do that. And somebody said, man, why? You know, what's the deal? And they weren't being ugly, and you know who you are. You weren't being ugly. I didn't think you were being a, you know, but they're 20 minutes away. It's downtown. We don't have any downtown people here. They're not going to walk here. They're not going to bus here. They're not going to Uber here. If they could do that, it wouldn't be at Knox Valley Rescue Ministry. Why are we doing that? By the way, we have seen people down there who have attended this church. We've seen at least two people down there who used to come here. Why are we doing that? Because we get to go love people who can't do anything back for us. We get to go down there and be generous to people who will never be generous to us. We get to go down there and show them Christ's love. We get to go down there and just simply say, hey, there are people in West Knoxville that love people downtown and love people that everybody else looks down their nose at. And we're going to come down here just for a few minutes and serve you some food and make sure that your table is in good shape and get you some water and make sure that your cup's full. We're going to just do this as good thing, as a wonderful thing, because God has been generous to us and we're going to be generous to you in return. Sound like a good idea to me, by the way. We're going to be generous. Has a heart for generosity. Has a heart for sharing. In a couple of months, we'll have our Community Family Fun Day. I'm right on time here. Look right. We're going to have our Community Family Fun Day. We'll get you the dates. Plenty of time. We want to make sure we're doing our very best not to go head-to-head with any football games. I know some of you, that is a big deal. And it's okay. If my team played football well, it'd be a big deal to me. But we play round ball. Football is not good. If you're a Tar Heel fan, we did okay last year. Did okay. I smile. We will have some things that actually are for pay this year, just because they've been asked for. But we're going to do most of it just like we've been doing. We'll have all the stuff for the kids, and we'll have all the stuff. We're just going to give it away. We've got businesses. We've got a few businesses already kind of bumped us. Hey, you still having your day in the fall? Because we want to give you some stuff. We're going to do that. We got area businesses going to do that. And we got some new businesses. We're hoping they're going to help too. Amen. Man, if we get a year pizza from up the road there, and we get another year pizza from Hard Knocks Pizzeria, and if we get a year free chicken or get a year free barbecue from Dickie's Barbecue, I may start winning some of those prizes. I'm teasing. And, you know, we get all this stuff. You know, we got car wash coming in. I got all kind of jazz coming in the road up here. It's neat. We got stuff. We give it away. I mean, why we do it? We're just loving our community. And every 30 minutes, some of you were amazed last year, we did it every 30 minutes. We give prizes away. We give out the gospel. Why? Because if they leave with a full belly or free gas for a year or whatever to get, but they don't know Jesus, then they didn't get much. They just didn't get much. Faithful church is a heart for generosity. Loving each other, loving our world, a faithful heart. A faithful church is filled with joy. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Our homes, our homes ought to start being open to each other. Say, I can't do that at my home. We grab a cup of coffee at McDonald's. We get a burger somewhere. We do something. There ought to be something that's there. And there's joy that is there. There's joy that is there. Come to somebody's house, man, and they've got your food and they've got your tea glass filled and all that. You get to do that. Some of you in our years here, you've taken us to your favorite places and spots, and man, we have just so enjoyed that. Some of you fellowship after Sunday morning service and you get to do that. And those are high points of joy. Faithful churches, it's filled with joy. If for nothing, for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, we just, for a few hours, we just get to pause and say, the world may be crazy, but the people of God are full of joy, and it is a joy to be here with each other. And to smile and to say, that guy loves me, and that lady loves me, and man, what a thrill to come and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they said, this was their practice. This was their practice. Let me help you here. I think you can track it. Work aside, second shift aside, those of you who know me, I'm not picking on you. But if you just lay out all the time, you can watch your joy just... You can watch it drop. And there's something about it. One Sunday, then two Sundays, then three Sundays. Some of you, you've changed so much. Your joy's changed so much. You got friends and coworkers saying, what's different about it? What's going on with you? What's up? Some of you won't shut up about your church. You won't shut up about the family of God. You won't shut up about the neat things that are going on. You got people going, well, I want to know what's going on there. What in the world? What are you talking about? Your preacher can't be that cuckoo. And he is. You can watch him online. He's cuckoo. He looks like a giant on the stage and the camera angle and all. I look like I'm 8 foot tall and 8 foot wide. And, you can check it out before you're coming. In a faithful church filled with joy. Now, let me help you. Filled with joy by people who are going through unbelievable hardship, who've gotten bad news, whose hearts are broken over things in their life and people in their life. But a faithful church is filled with joy. The idea they had gladness and simplicity of heart, simpleness of heart. Great joy. Here's our deal. They tell the story, the little book I mentioned at the start. Guy tells a story about the city workers. I'm done. Said no. Supervisor was riding along and he saw these two guys. Said, saw the guy, one guy was digging a hole and the other guy was filling in the hole. So he thought he was missing something. So he made a loop, come back, slowed down. Sure enough, guy sitting there sweating, digging a hole. Another guy coming in and filling up a hole. And so he pulled his truck over and said, hey guys, wait, what are you doing? He said, oh, they're working. They didn't miss a beat and it kept on going. He grabbed one of his shoulders and said, what do you mean? He said, we're a three-man team. He said, I dig the hole. He said, Bob plants the tree. He said, and Sam, he fills in the hole. He said, but Bob was sick today. He said, but we kept on working. I know you're proud of us. We've digged the hole and fill in the hole. He said, whoa. He said, who's putting the tree in? He said, well, that's not our job. So I dig the hole. He fills in the hole. Bob plants a tree, but Bob didn't come to work, but we're still working. So I know you're proud. And how many of you think the supervisor was proud, by the way? If we're not real careful, that's one of the reasons about every 4 or 5 months we change the order of service. One of the reasons we try and stay fluid about some things. One of the reasons we shifted our time. If we're not real careful, dig the hole, fill in the hole. See, why do we have video announcements? Because some of you don't read the bulletin. Why have the bulletin? Because some of you tune out whenever the video comes on. Why do we have opportunities to do this? Because some of you don't like this, but you'll do this over here. Because if we're not real careful, we'll dig a hole and fill up the hole.
And successful service is getting out early. Instead of a successful service, Jesus is honored. And God gets a hold of people's hearts. And people who need Christ come to Christ. And people who need to make decisions make decisions. If we're not real careful, we dig a hole and fill up the hole. And you walk in a stranger and you leave a stranger. And you walk in not knowing anybody and you leave not knowing anybody. And you hear us talking about a night service and you hear us talking about a Wednesday service and you go, eh. And God says, no, here's what I designed a church to be. Here's some characteristics of a church that's faithful to the New Testament model. By the way, I think that the joy comes from the other six. I really do. I think when you got those other ones going, I think the only thing that can result is unfettered, unbridled joy. How many of you love to be part of joy, have some joy in your life, and attend a church full of joy? I think that's what a faithful church ends up with every time. As people are saved, as lives are changed, as God is honored, as the Word is studied and obeyed, as we are practicing our generosity, as God is the focal point, as we emphasize the cross and His resurrection, as we remember that He's coming again, then God is honored. God is honored, and the church is full of joy, filled with joy. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. Thank you all who are here today and for listening well. And I have just a couple of quick questions for you. At our church, we try and give folks an opportunity to respond. I'll give you a couple of opportunities here. Say, Pastor, I'm here today and I have spiritual needs in my life. Excuse me. I have spiritual needs in my life. I'd sure like for you to pray for me. I won't come to you. I won't call you. I won't do anything like that, but I would like to pray for you. I got spiritual needs in my heart and my life. Would you pray for me?